Well, welcome to Mother's Day. Today is a day we honor moms. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I entitled my message, The Mother Side of God. Let's see what all that means, Robbie. Okay, let's take a look. See if you recognize any of these moms that I want to give you some information about. And see if you recognize that maybe it's even your mom. Well, this is the first little thing that I want to say. When you stand up and take pictures at your son's school play, even after they ask people not to do it. Or maybe you insist your child wear a sweater when you're the one that's cold. Or you tell your daughter how much prettier she looks with her hair out of her eyes. And then you might hear yourself say things like, your face will freeze like that. And if all your friends drop off a bridge, would you do that? Or there's a used Kleenex stuffed up in your shirt sleeve. I think the first thing you might ask when somebody walks into your home is, do you want something to eat? Or you spend a vacation wondering if you left the iron turned on or forgot to turn the coffee pot off. Or your daughter says smugly that she'll never be anything like you. Sound like anybody you might know? Well, the text today is very appropriate for the day when Jesus said he would never leave you comfortless. One translation says Jesus said, I will never leave you as orphans. Both translations of the text sounds like Mother's Day to me. And I don't want to be guilty of overgeneralizing or stereotyping, but, you know, I love the buts and the if. I think most of us think about being comforted. We do think of our moms or our dads. A survey asked boys who they would most likely confide in if they had a problem. Results were really kind of shocking, but not really. 23% said their father, while the remaining 77% said they would confide in mom. I will not leave you comfortless, Jesus said. I will not leave you as orphans. I think there's a lot of dads who are doing a splendid job of comforting their children, but in the majority of the cases, I think for comfort, yeah, we think of mom. Yes, God is like a father, but God is also like a mother who comforts her children. So where is comfort to be found? That's the question for today. And what did Jesus promise us? Jesus said, first of all, he will comfort us by his presence, and that he would leave no follower behind. Now, I think mother's love is relentless, but pretty much any parent, I think, would go to whatever lengths necessary to retrieve a child that if the child is lost or in trouble. I think we have something innate within us that drives us to dare nearly impossible feats if it means that we can save our child. Parents who have children that have been stolen or lost or kidnapped will spend years seeking for them. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, mothers in particular seem to have an inner sense that urges her never to give up on finding her child. Now, you might have seen a movie that was entitled Not Without My Daughter. Now, I have not seen this movie, but there's a lot of movies and a lot of documentaries out there that help people find missing children. Not Without My Daughter, the movie is about a mother who determined to get her daughter out of the country in which she felt like she was at risk. Likely, you probably heard at least one story like this, or many on news reports, that demonstrates this extremely strong bond between parent and child. In China, for example, Lai Jing spent 32 years searching for her son, Mao Yin, who was kidnapped in 1988 at the age of 2. Now, reports tell us that she traveled to over 20 provinces and distributed over 100,000 flyers before a DNA match found her. Now, she never gave up for a moment. No, that's hope. We never lose hope. We keep on keeping on, don't we? Well, similarly, in 1971, a 22-month-old baby was kidnapped by a babysitter in Texas. 51 years her family searched for that baby. Then in 2022, they found their daughter through a DNA match. Wow, this modern medical technology is incredible, especially for locating missing children. Still another mother spent more than 40 years searching for her daughter who was abducted at the age of 4. Even when the end result means tragedy and mourning, parents will do anything to search, locate, and bring their children home. Why? Because they never give up hope. You see, when a child has these kind of parents in their lives, the kind that care so deeply, feel so committed, love so unconditionally, they know that if something was to happen to them, their parents would never give up looking for him. I think that's the kind of parental commitment and love that builds a trust in children and with their secure lives in a way that cannot be duplicated. You know, they learn not only the meaning of deep and abiding love, but a kind of resilience that can't be taught, but only lived and experienced. You know, I think having this kind of foundation allows them to live their lives more securely, hopefully, and take healthy risks more boldly. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. Parents aren't the only ones who demonstrate that kind of bond and commitment. The United States Marine Corps has an unwritten code. It's an understanding that every Marine knows. Now, they had to change it a little bit to make it modern, but the original one is this. It says, no man left behind. Well, they had to change it a little bit. Maybe they changed it to no person left behind or no man or woman left behind because there's women serving in the Marine Corps these days. But I digress. Each and every member of the Corps has each other's back. They don't just trust each other, but they know and never doubt that in the event of something that would happen to them, one or more of the team would come to rescue them and bring them back. Even in the Army, you know, we just had one recently that was stranded. A pilot was stranded in Iran, and we just kept it up, and we found him and got him out of danger. But I digress. Even if injured, nobody would be left in the field to die. That's just the kind of trust and commitment that builds camaraderie and tight bonds between Marines. But it also allows them to feel more secure on the battlefield as they operate as a team. And they form significant bonds, and they do the job that they were sent to do. They become to each other like family, despite differences, and those feelings last a lifetime. Sometimes I think maybe we ought to have our citizens of our country kind of understand what those kind of commitments are. And, well, as I say, you know, we can agree to disagree but still love. But anyhow, I digress. Whether the parent who comes to expel the monster under the bed, I used to think I had one under the bed when I was younger, like real younger, to comfort the frightened child, the Marines in the field or the friends and the family who listen and comfort and celebrate milestones and major life changes, I think that kind of support and commitment matters to us. It's the cornerstone, if you will, of what makes us truly human and humane. Jesus' disciples knew this kind of commitment from their leader as well. They know the love that Jesus has for them. And he encouraged it among all of them. His image of the shepherd and the sheep inform us the nature of his feelings. In only one, yeah, just one, be lost, he would search out endlessly until they would locate that one lost sheep, celebrate it, and bring it home again. I also think of the prodigal son, shocked everybody when the father welcomed and celebrated with joy the errant son. There he was, the father, with open arms welcoming his wayward child. At Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples, he bid them to love and to look out for each other. Now, this is what he said, how people would recognize them as their followers. This kind of love and care and deep commitment help soothe the souls of Jesus' grieving disciples, as we see them in our scripture that I read today, as Jesus was preparing to leave them. They're worried and they're afraid, and they know Jesus is about to leave them alone again, and they feel lost and insecure and alone and afraid. Well, Jesus, however, as he always does, reassures them that they will never be left alone. He will never allow them to be orphans or bereaved or without a parental protection. No, in the form of the Holy Spirit, he said, will continue. You will have an advocate with the Father, a defender, a helper, a comforter, who will be with them as they carry on his mission. His love will secure these bonds. Jesus leaves his disciples not only with a legacy, but with Jesus' identity and presence steeped into their souls. Now, they may be losing his physical presence, but they're not losing his spiritual presence. The integrity of their discipleship bonds will remain intact and powerful. That's the Spirit's guidance and wisdom and protection that'll stay with them no matter where they go. Thank God that he also sent it to us. Because we all, at one time or another, had the experience of being there for our family and with our friends. And I think many of us has had that experience, knowing that Jesus is with us in times of grief and need and fear of what maybe is to come. But, you know, I love the buts in the if. Jesus calls us to do even more than this. He calls us to build the kind of Christian communities inside and out of the church. It's called the Ecclesiaste. It's also demonstrated these kinds of unbreakable bonds, the Ecclesi, which simply means people called together to be citizens of a different kind of an alternative community in which all identity as a people is with a purpose to love, to save, to gather in, to seek, to proclaim, to protect, and bring home to Jesus all, all who God had created and loves. That's quite a calling when you think about it. It's really listed in Matthew chapter 28 at the end. Go therefore into all of the world, baptizing and teaching in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I like the buts and the ifs, but that is still who we are as the church, to lead, guide, be guided by the Holy Spirit of Christ. We are all called together to have each other's backs. Oh, yeah, in this world of danger and fears and loneliness and doubt, there's plenty of that in this old world. You know, we're in the world, not of the world. But we're called together in loyalty and trust, and more importantly, in faith, in the living, in the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. You see, we are called together to nurture each other in faith, to comfort each other in sorrow, to lift up others in times of joy, and to guide each other into discipleship and wisdom, godly wisdom. You see, we are called together to go out into the fields, to take risks for the sake of the gospel, to proclaim the saving power of Jesus, and to gather in all who are lost. That's a challenge, and it's a wonderful mission, but it's something we need to do, because we are called together to love not only each other, but to seek those who have wandered away and to welcome the prodigals who return with grace and hope in Christ. You see, when Jesus prepared to leave his disciples that day, he didn't just leave them his promise. No, he left them his Spirit. And we in that Spirit remain today, the Church of Christ, united in love, united in spirit, united in faith, united in hope. Yeah, we are. We maybe don't recognize it or don't want to be united, but if you are a follower of Christ, Christ's followers, you're united in hope. You see, the Church is, for all of its mistakes and issues, Jesus is still the hope. He still sits on the throne. He is the head of the church. And Jesus' hope for his mission of love and healing in this whole world is all of us who join together within its community and to carry out Jesus' legacy of grace and to treat each other as Christ's own cherished children, because we all are children of the living God. Because for Jesus, he leaves no orphans. No, not a single one. So our challenge on this Mother's Day is to come and to join in his mission. In doing so, you will find safety, love, security, identity, integrity, and more importantly, home. You see, in Christ's church, you belong. Child of God, welcome home. Continue to be a part of what God called us to be, children of God, with one thing in common, the love of Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world, and, more importantly, our own personal sins. You know, and you don't ever have to get ready to accept Christ into your life. No, it's a simple prayer for simple people. When you come to realize of things that I've been talking about the church and you're not experiencing it, then you got to say, wow, I think I need to have that Savior in my life. And he will come only if you invite him. He's not going to push himself upon you. No, he won't do that. But if you invite him, he will come. Then you don't get him in pieces. You get him God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, what a wonderful thing, and welcome home. Thank you, mothers and fathers, and more importantly, thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us the way to life, and how we can have it more abundantly. Have a wonderful, blessed Mother's Day today, and keep on coming back. Church is where it is. Love you. Have a good day.